Pour out, O Lord, your Spirit upon our hearts this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may be enlightened, that we may know your word and know you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our meditation is based on the gospel this morning, where Jesus is getting ready to return to heaven. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going back to the Father. And I don't think they got it. I don't think they quite comprehended what was going on. I mean, they had been with Jesus for 3 years plus, traveling all through Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, proclaiming the kingdom of God. They had experienced miracles, people being healed from the sick, healed of the sickness, raised from the dead, many other signs and wonders from God. And Jesus was their teacher and their master, and now all of a sudden he's going to leave him? Going to experience a horrible death? Be raised from the dead and ascended to heaven? I mean, what's going on? And I think sometimes we don't like change, do we? We like to be in our comfort zone. God, don't change things. Leave it the way it is. So I think the disciples being befuddled and confused, I would too. It's like, wait a minute, this has been good stuff. Yeah, I know you've had your arguments with the Pharisees and fights with the leaders, but boy, this has been fun. And you know, sometimes goodbyes are hard to take, aren't they? Especially when at the deathbed of a loved one, surrounded by the family, of which I just personally went through. Or when a parent takes her son or daughter off to college, whom they've raised their whole life, and he's like, they're going to say goodbye now. A new chapter is being written. Or when a husband or son or daughter is in the military and is being shipped off to duty to go to war, not knowing if you would ever see them again. And that's why Jesus says to the disciples, because I've said these things, you now are filled with grief. But then notice Jesus pivots. And he says to the disciples in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And I can imagine the disciples scratching their head, what in the world is he talking about? Who's this Helper that Jesus mentions? And what's he going to do? Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit who will be poured out at Pentecost. So no longer will Jesus be present physically with the disciples, but he will be present in their hearts, empowering them to preach the gospel, to build the church, to proclaim the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. And Jesus is not here physically today, but he is here in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. All through church history, the Holy Spirit has been the one building the church and living in the hearts of the redeemed. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Spirit can't come. Because the Spirit can't apply Christ's redemptive work until Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. That's what God's plan was. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. Last week, the theme was on Jesus' ascension, where he handed the baton to his disciples to carry out his mission. And as he was ascending into heaven, the disciples are just looking. And then two angels appear. What are you staring up there for? You guys have work to do. Go back into Jerusalem because you know what? Something great's going to happen. You're going to receive power to proclaim the word of God. And it's the same for us today. We also have that baton to carry out Christ's mission. We get to show mercy and compassion. We get to practice hospitality, witness our faith, care for the sick, remember the lonely,
to pray for healing and comfort, and yes, perform miracles. We are empowered by the Spirit to carry out Christ's great commission. That's why you and I are here. And then on the day of Pentecost, as the disciples are gathered together, the Spirit was poured out upon them like a rushing wind. They were now empowered to proclaim the gospel with boldness in every language without fear. What a neat thing. I would have liked to have been there. So this morning I would like to unpack, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What's the Holy Spirit's role in our lives? Now notice that I said he. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not some feeling, some ephemeral thing that's out there that we have to search for. No, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. The Holy Spirit, like the Father and the Son, is God, the same essence. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is saying, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And then listen to this. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So the first thing the Holy Spirit does is to bring us to faith, to believe in Jesus, to call him Lord. And where do we get the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is given to us in our baptism. As Paul says in Titus 3, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of any works we have done in righteousness, and here's the key, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's cool stuff. The Holy Spirit gives us new life in baptism. You are born again of water and of Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates faith in us to believe. We can't believe on our own. The Holy Spirit has to bring us to faith, to cause and turn our hearts toward God. And that's what he does. And baptism brings new life. Cleansing of sin through the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, nobody can be saved. Nobody can come to God. So in other words, we're brought to saving faith, not on our own efforts, nothing that we have done. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And you know, after Peter preached that sermon on Pentecost, the people were cut to heart. And they said, what do we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you notice he's connecting baptism with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children and for all who are far off. For everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. So the Holy Spirit brings us to faith. Leads us and guides us. And what else does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus goes on in our gospel and says, and when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin through the law and leads us to Christ in repentance. The Holy Spirit prompts us to turn from sin and pursue righteousness. And when we fail and fall into sin, the Spirit constantly points us to the promise of the forgiveness of sins. And I know that in my life. I need that all the time. Holy Spirit, come. Show me my sin. Lead me to Christ. That I might be made holy by you. As King David said in Psalm 51,
Against you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. You know, when our sins weigh us down with guilt and shame, and we feel like we've messed up again, we can confess our sins to God, and the Holy Spirit comforts us with the truth that the blood of Christ shed on the cross gives us the forgiveness of all of our sins. You can know, no matter how bad your day has been, what you've been through, how much you've messed up, how many maybe people you've hurt, you can go at the end of the day and confess to the Lord, all is forgiven. We start anew tomorrow. That's good news. That's the gospel. And the Holy Spirit shows us that by Christ's death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, the penalty of all your sins has been paid for. You are declared righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does, shows us Jesus. Then Jesus goes on in verse 14, 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And we live in a culture today, right, where there is no absolute truth. Truth has become a fiction, a subjective thing based on individual preference. We have truths, but no truth. Everyone does right what's in their own eyes. The spirit of the age today is the autonomy of the self. All that matters is self-gratification. There's no real fear or trust in God anymore, because the message in the culture is that you are your own God. You call the shots. We can live and do what we want, and God will just accept me. I don't need to repent of anything. That's the furthest thing from the truth. But when the Holy Spirit leads you and me into a clear understanding of God's truth about our sin and about the righteousness of Christ, that's a guide. That's leading us. That's truth. And how often do we need a guide? I can remember several years ago when we visited Rome. Now, how many of you have been to Rome? When you go see the two main things is the Vatican and then at the Roman ruins. And we went to the Roman ruins, we had a tour guide. Because problem is, when you're walking around these ruins, you don't know where the heck you are. What's this? Who? And then, oh, that was Caesar Augustus's palace. Really? I mean, the Caesar Augustus when Jesus was born? Yeah, that's the one. But without the guide, I wouldn't know. My wife and I wouldn't know a thing of where we are. And that's why it's important, if you do take a trip overseas, it's important to get a guide when you go see some of the ancient things. Because the guide tells you what they are. And it's like the Holy Spirit shows us truth from error, leads us to the faith by the gospel. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to please God and follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit, and remember this, always points us to Jesus, nothing else, and his atoning work on the cross. And all through John's gospel, truth is always associated with Christ and his works. Then lastly, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. What does that mean? He wants to make us holy, empowering us to live the Christian life. As St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, for God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, Martin Luther, in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, says, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel.
brings me to Jesus. He gives me Jesus' gifts and makes me holy to keep me in the true faith. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in the business of constantly making you holy by pointing you to Christ, by showing you your sin, and then showing you the righteousness of Christ. He is your holiness. He's the one that sanctifies you. I think sometimes we have this misconception that, you know, Lutherans get it right about justification by faith, right? I mean, we know we don't earn our salvation. We've got a lock on that. But when it comes to being made holy, sometimes I think, we don't quite want to talk about that. But God's in the Holy Spirit's in the business is wanting us to grow in our faith, to make us holy. And yet, that's not something we do by striving in our own efforts either. That's something that we receive as a gift of grace. It's only the gift of grace of the Holy Spirit that changes our lives. Luther goes on and says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens the whole Christian church and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. He was spot on. He got it right. God didn't create us to live in isolation from one another. As Christians, we confess the Holy Spirit has brought us into a community. I see Jesus in you. I hope you see Jesus in me. Because that's the Holy Spirit. He's brought us into a community of believers to be in a unity of faith for a common purpose, to be of one mind with many different gifts. How can you be a Christian without being part of the body of Christ, which is the gathering of all true believers? It's not a building. It's the true believers where the Holy Spirit has renewed their hearts. Those that have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to the church for building one another up in the faith. The Holy Spirit then makes you holy by strengthening your faith and increasing a desire to please Him. Do you have a desire to please God? I do. But I know I always stumble and fall. But the Holy Spirit picks you back up again. Let's pursue the goal. Let's press on. The Holy Spirit guides you, leads you, empowers you. Realize that. And you know what? Life in the Holy Spirit is like every day is a day of death and resurrection for the Christian. It's a death to self and our sinful desires and a resurrection of the new person in the image of Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about, leading us daily to repentance and faith. Confessing our sins, receiving His complete forgiveness, no matter what you've done, no matter how guilty you feel, no matter how much shame, wiped out. And the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to amend our lives and please Christ. You know, at the end, Jesus said to His disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Yeah, I'm going away. But boy, something better is coming. You receive the Helper. The Holy Spirit will be in you forever. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning, God has not left us as orphans either. But He's poured His Holy Spirit into our hearts and continues to give us His gifts through His Word, through His body and His blood. So I want you to do something this week. When you get up in the morning, I want you to ask God to gift you the Holy Spirit. To ask Him. And again, this is awareness. This is being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to help you walk in the Spirit as you go about your daily tasks. Help me to speak kindly to people. To put away anger. To put away lust and pride. And help me to put on the righteousness of Christ that was given to you in your baptism. I want you to do that this week.
because God's Holy Spirit is in you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Now may the peace of God.